Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I missed a few programs, a few weeks, largely from academic reasons, teaching courses and writing exams, grading exams, all the works. So I thought I might start tonight just by mentioning something, which I guess for anybody who's following this program probably already knows about it, but it was yesterday was the inaugural meeting of the 2024-2025 Cambridge City Council. It was also later in the afternoon was the inauguration of the school committee over at the Cambridge Street School. I still think Harrington, but it's nothing's retained its old names anymore. So just to break the suspense, so it's Denise Simmons was elected mayor again, I'm going to acknowledge, I even wrote about this in late December. I said I wasn't going to make any comments on the mayoral election because I always likened it to kind of the Heisenberg principle, that if you know the act of measurement can actually affect the experiment. And I didn't want to be very honest, I didn't want to actually say something in favor of my favorite candidate, which was Denise Simmons, to say, oh well, I hope Denise Simmons gets elected, because the way it works in Cambridge, I hate to say it, but it's true, is that there'll be some people who go, oh yeah, well, that bastard Robert Winter says he likes Denise Simmons. Well, I'll show him, So I do, but sometimes it's actually best to just shut up. So anyway, it worked out and Denise Simmons is the mayor. I think maybe what I'll do here is I'll do a little quick share screen just to talk about how it works. I'm always reminded how over the years, not so much recently, but in past years, there's been this sort of frenzied vote switching that actually happens when a vote is taken, for the mayoral vote. Sometimes it's actually gone. I mean, I think it was one time back in the 1940s where they went to over 1,000 separate ballots before they actually selected a mayor, which sounds crazy, but it really did happen. Recently, it's been pretty straight up. Just one or two ballots, and often done on the night of or the day of the inaugural. So so this was no different. So they went through the roll, and at least in the first pass, it seemed a little undecided. There were, as I'm counting it here right now, there were actually two votes initially for Mark McGovern, one vote for Patty Nolan. There were three votes for Denise Sim, actually one, yeah. One, two, three votes for Denise Simmons and three votes for Sumbul Siddiqui. And I don't personally know what all the interpersonal dynamics were. I used to take an interest in that, but I usually just, I let the kids play and do what they're going to do and try not to get too involved. But then, it actually ended. There was a little bit of an effort in the first ballot to change things. Mark McGovern basically said, well, he's not going to see his five come about. So he changed his vote to Denise Simmons. And then Burhan Azim, who had initially voted for Mark McGovern, then changed his vote, now that McGovern was essentially conceding, to himself, which was a little strange. But then again, I had been informed pretty definitively that all six incumbents actually had aspirations to be mayor, which sounds a little crazy, but it's not that uncommon that you'd have quite a few who at least want and then eventually give up. So the first ballot ended with Denise Simmons with four, Sumbul Siddiqui with three, Patty Nolan with one, and then Burhan Azim with one vote. Now, sometimes the way this works, and again, I'm not speaking tales out of school here, but oftentimes there's a commitment. I will vote for you on the first ballot, but afterwards, I'm free to do what I want. And that, and I think that's probably how it worked. They saw that Denise Simmons was pretty close. She was pretty acceptable. And on the second ballot, they went through the roll and everybody voted straight away for Denise Simmons, except for Patty Nolan. And then, to play nice, she then switched her vote to Denise Simmons to make it a unanimous vote to elect Denise Simmons as mayor. And I was a pretty happy camper because I think it's an excellent choice. They also do the vote for vice mayor. Again, vice mayor, which is really, there is no such thing as vice mayor, is really, it's called the vice chair of the city council. And I'm actually grateful that city clerk was very good at not using the term vice mayor, since it's sort of a fictional term. But when they did the votes for vice chair of the city council, the votes went, you know, they were, they kind of walked all over the place. It was Bern Azim voted for himself. Mark McGovern voted for himself, as did Denise Simmons. And by the way, oftentimes the person who is seen as somewhat pivotal in selecting the mayor is often the person who will then, sort of more as an honorary thing, becomes the vice mayor, but not always. There was initially three votes for Patty Nolan, who I believe really wanted it. My understanding is she desperately wanted to be mayor, but certainly if that wasn't available, she desperately wanted to be vice mayor, so she ended up out of the running. Anyway, then there was some pretty quick vote shifting, you know, sort of in sequence. Patty switches to, Joan Pickett, one of our newly minted city councilors, changed her vote from Patty Nolan to Mark McGovern, followed by Paul Toner doing the same, then and so on and so on. In the end, everybody went for McGovern except Patty Nolan was the lone holdout, continuing to vote for herself. And I think she kind of went home a little disappointed overall. Now, one of the things that needs to be stated about this first meeting, and I think I'll sort of just come back to myself to speak about this, is that even before the mayoral vote took place, there was a pretty ugly scene happened within the Sullivan Chamber. The usual cast of characters, the same, largely the same people, a lot of intersection with the same people ever since last January, were coming up and busting up city council meetings, shouting, justice for Faisal, et cetera. And I'm not in any way diminishing anyone's personal points of view about what should have happened with the police involved shooting a year ago. But, and it really was almost exactly a year ago. I think in 2 days we'll mark the anniversary of that. But the idea of breaking up public meetings, and from my point of view, having at least one city councilor be complicit in the breaking up of the very meeting of which he was a member, was just deplorable and unforgivable, quite honestly. They continued to bust up meetings, in through this wintertime into springtime, and they came back, tried to do it some more. There was another action a few other times. But this was this was unprecedented, as far as I know, for an inaugural meeting where there's absolutely nothing on the agenda other than the election of the mayor and the setting of the provisional rules for the city council meeting. So there was nothing involving Gaza or Israel or Elbit Systems or Arif Faisal or Cambridge Police or anything. And again, I'll just speak my mind here and say that these demonstrations aren't really about protesting anything. They have, right from the start, been all about groups like this Party for Socialism and Liberation doing political organizing and basically saying screw you to anyone and everyone that might stand in their way. So this was a good, a nice little venue for them to play their little game again. So they unfurled banners and they busted up the meeting. They had to actually recess the inaugural meeting for at least 15 minutes, I think. Eventually, they agreed to leave. There were conflicting reports about whether they had worked it out in advance, whether they would be allowed their 15 minutes of idiocy and then the meeting would continue, or whether, in fact, they sprung it completely by surprise. I tend to believe it was done more by surprise. But then during that process, they agreed to leave eventually. And they did. And then once they left, then a lot of the people came back into the room, not them, the people who were there for legitimate reasons, family, friends. I mean, a lot of times these inaugural meetings are really for all the political supporters, the friends, family of the elected officials, former elected officials, city staff, whatever, for some very self-interested group just to try and hijack it in order to basically, quote, build their brand was really absurd. Anyway, it happened. The meeting did continue. They did select the mayor, and I think it was exactly the right selection that was done, so I'm kind of glad for that. One of the things worth noting, again, I don't wish to obsess over the protesters here so much. I think they probably had more airtime than they deserve. But it is quite interesting, to me at least, that I had a friend, Dave, who used to tell me he lived in an ashram in Oregon, and he used to say that how much they hated New Age people, because the New Age people were, they called them alphabet soup believers. They believed in everything. And I think about that when I look at some of the protests currently, because here you have a busting up of a city council inaugural meeting, and they're simultaneously dangling flags that saying "Free Palestine" and "Justice for Faisal," "End police brutality" and whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, so how do you connect all of those dots? And I don't think you do. It's kind of an alphabet soup. And you're seeing this all around the country, if not the world, basically people who are just really hard left activists who believe in socialism, for sure, or more, and want to, defund police and screw Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, it becomes just sort of this witch's brew of things you're required to believe in if you're part of that group, It also reminds me sometimes when I used to go on protests against the Vietnam War half a century ago, literally, where, if you weren't, the phrase you used to hear all the time was, if you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And what that really translated into is that if you're going to be part of our club, you have to believe everything that the club believes. So you had to be not only anti-war, you had to be, pro-Viet Cong, you had to be, bring on the communist revolution, et cetera. And if you didn't buy into every single one of these things, somehow you were the enemy, and there's just so much of a similar feel to this right now. Anyway, enough of that. The vote was taken. We'll have a mayor. And the way it works now is that the mayor is the appointing authority for city council committees. Of course, the city manager is the appointing authority for all other boards and commissions, but it is the job of the mayor to make these selections. And I'm very happy that it's Denise Simmons, because I think she's arguably the most responsible person on the body. And hopefully we will not see a repeat of some of the ridiculousness that we saw with our now previous mayor, who actually had the audacity to elect somebody to choose Quentin Zondervan as chair of the Public Safety Committee for two consecutive terms. I mean, to appoint somebody as head of public safety who has such a deep-seated hatred for the Cambridge Police Department, to me was insulting, and I believe everybody in the Cambridge Police Department felt the same way. So anyway, I'm pretty sure Denise will accommodate most people's requests and do a good matching problem of people's talents and what they want to what the public needs and the job and the nature of the job itself. So I think she's usually very, very good at this. By the way, and I'll speak to this more in a little bit, but perhaps one of the greatest single jobs that'll come before this next city council. No, I should say now this current city council, since they have been inaugurated, is the issue of the city charter. Right, the Charter Review Committee, again, I'll speak to this in a minute, but they are soon to be issuing recommendations and some narrative and other text for possible changes to the Cambridge City Charter. There is nothing binding from the Cambridge, this Charter Review Committee. But those recommendations will be delivered in the form of a report to the Cambridge City Council. Nobody has yet said how they will handle that. The presumption, just based on, because they haven't really done a process like this before, but the presumption would be that it would be most likely the Government Operations Committee who would then take up the charge to initially evaluate any of the recommendations of the Charter Review Committee. And then make recommendations to the full city council, or maybe they'll create some ad hoc committee at large, have all city councilors be involved in the process. Nobody knows yet. But I think initially it'll probably be in the hands of the Govern Operations Committee to make those initial decisions. So that'll be one of the more important selections from our new Mayor Simmons, who, by the way, who has been mayor twice before now. And I think she handled herself very well in each of those previous terms. So anyway, that's what's to come. I mean, I think it's for anybody's guess as to what the other kind of, quote, big issues will be for the current Cambridge City Council. You know, the previous term was dominated by various matters from large to small, from important to stupid. But the next, it's a clean slate, as Mayor Simmons said in her remarks yesterday. We'll see where it goes. Let me just briefly say that there was also the inaugural for the school committee later in the afternoon. And it was kind of strange, actually, because there were six elected members plus the mayor comprised a 7-member school committee. So of those six, two of them weren't there. Jose Luis Ross Villarreal was not there. And Carolyn Hunter, my understanding is one of them was sick, perhaps with COVID, hopefully just a mild form. The other one was, I think, traveling, or at least that's what I overheard. But so they inaugurated 4 of the 6. And the way it works is at the next regular meeting that they are present, they'll inaugurate them at the regular meeting. And the regular meeting is actually happening right now, I believe. But I don't think who was sick or traveling is going to be there. So I think it'll have to wait another meeting in order to have the full school committee. By the way, the school committee generally does one significant vote at their inaugural meeting. Once they're inaugurated, they choose what they call their vice chair, whose job is not to chair the meeting. That is left to the mayor, unless the mayor chooses to demur. It is left to the vice chair to appoint any school committee subcommittees, should they choose to have them. And by the way, there have been times, even going back into the 1920s, when the school committee chose to have no subcommittees and to do everything acting as a committee of the whole. I don't think that's a crazy thing, by the way. But if there are specific reasons why they need to break up into subcommittees, and they traditionally do that, they will do that. And each of those committees needs members and they need a chair. So that will be the job of the vice chair to make those determinations. All right. So let's leave the Sullivan Chamber and the Cambridge Street School for a moment and talk about, there's another thing big in the news today. And I'm speaking more as an observer rather than as an employee of Harvard University, though I am an employee of Harvard University. So today, big news was another college president fell, like another oak in the forest. So not all, but to some degree, as a fallout from the controversial showing in front of a congressional committee, where people were asked rather pointed questions about whether they considered anti-Semitic rhetoric as is largely been heard a lot now, I think, in the wake of all of the Israel-Gaza situation that's going on. And 3 college presidents from UPenn, MIT, and Harvard basically all took the same advice from the same bad lawyer, I guess, to give a kind of a legalistic answer to what should have been a really simple question. Does this violate your code of conduct for your universities for people basically to, threaten one ethnic group? And they got all legalistic, and that was not a good move. So the University of Pennsylvania president resigned. And today Claudine Gay resigned as president of Harvard University. It's kind of hard to imagine there will be any shorter tenure of a Harvard University president, since I believe in all their years, they've only had something like 30 presidents. So this was really more measured in months rather than decades. Um, and I'm sure people can form their own opinions as to the rightness or wrongness. There was certainly indications in the message from Claudine Gay today suggesting that there was racial animus was to some degree at the heart of the decision. I mean, actually, I have here the message. You know, as an employee, we get the message here. You know, from Claudine Gay, saying ex basically announcing her resignation and some of the her thoughts associated with that. There was also an accompanying message that happened almost simultaneously from the Harvard Corporation, you know, announcing same and you know, expressing their point of view about that. You know, all signed by the entire corporation from Harvard University. So anyway, I'm not going to really say a whole lot about this. You know, I think in the case of Claudine Gay, it got even more complicated because it wasn't simply like you said the wrong thing in response to an aggressive congressional question. It was also that then that brought into spotlight her own qualification and whether she got a free pass for charges of playing a little fast and loose with some notions of plagiarism. So, and again, I don't have any strong opinion about that at all, but it was undeniably a factor. And I think it needs to also be said that you know, universities are very much dependent on donor money. And I think University of Pennsylvania would have been in a really bad situation had the president continued, because there were major donors who were already taking back gifts, and a lot of others who were promising to not contribute to the universities. And you know, Harvard University, with its rather large endowment, is no different. You know, it's very much dependent on a lot of those donors. And regardless of the academic credentials associated with being a college president, one of the biggest jobs of a college president, unfortunately, is basically being a bit of a fundraiser. You know, you do the rah-rah, you know, do the whole dog and pony show, promote the university, and you know, and then you know, make sure all the alums and you know, other players are happy and satisfied and nostalgic for their, you know, great old alma mater. And if that's in any way compromised, it just really kind of makes it for a very difficult situation for these universities to maintain their wealthy endowments. You know, I mean, it would take a long time for Harvard to pay down its endowment, I suppose, but still, it's a strong consideration. So anyway, so it goes, right? One more. You know, it's been interesting as an employee of Harvard University watching this, and you know, having my own kind of misery as a political candidate, getting ambushed at Harvard University by, you know, some of the same characters who basically ambushed the city council meeting yesterday, and who's been just, you know, basically anybody they don't like, they're just going to run you out of town, right? You know, so it's been an interesting experience going teaching my classes Thursday nights and witnessing protests on Harvard University, lockdowns of the campus where you had to, you know, very uncharacteristically had to show ID in order to actually walk into Harvard Yard. My students, some of them were high school students who do not have Harvard IDs, they had to provide class lists to the guards so that they'd have to check their names off the list before they would be allowed inside to go to attend my class. So anyway, it's kind of an interesting little catbird seat, you know, watching things, you know, sitting within Harvard Yard and watching some of the wackiness. Perhaps the most absurd of all was one of the sort of pro-Gaza or pro-Hamas, really, groups that was occupying the basement of University Hall. And they were going to basically starve him out because it was dinner time. So they were refusing to allow food to be delivered. And there were protesters out in Harvard Yard chanting kind of comically, "Let them eat, let them eat." And I thought, well, okay, That's not quite the protest that I remember from going to Washington back in 1971, but hey, what the hell? Let them eat. Let them eat. No. Anyway, we only have a couple more minutes in this segment here. I would like to actually talk about two things in the next one, but I'll just sort of chip it off here first. I want to talk a little bit about the charter review process and where that's heading, and also just to a little bit of a walkthrough of some of what actually happened or didn't happen over the last council term. Maybe a little bit also looking forward to the next council term. And I did kind of find it interesting. I always find it interesting how when you have three city councilors departing, at the closing meeting, everybody says wonderful, nice things and makes it sound as though they've just been one big happy family for the last 2 to 4 years, and how, ultimately, sure, we had our little bits of differences. And I'm sort of looking at that going, yeah, I think it's nice to be nice to people on their last meeting and then not gang up on them. But, I thought there was a little bit of playing fast and loose with the facts. There's been a tremendous amount of dysfunction over the last couple of years, which is not to say that the city council didn't accomplish a few things, some of which I agree with, some of which I do not agree with. I've never liked their tremendous fascination with mandates for everything. But they made it through. They had some good fights, some of which were entertaining, some of which were not. And they were faced with some real challenges. Certainly the Faisal shooting that happened a year ago was a real challenge, in all the various things that came about as a result of that. So anyway, I'll do a little bit of walk through that, but I think we'll kick off the next half hour with a little talk about the charter review and kind of where that stands. Okay, so see you soon.